Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hope lives on. Well, good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And blessings from Laramie. And men, looking forward to the program. So I'll be looking forward to the callers, and we'll be standing by.
All right. Thank you. And yes, we do welcome everyone to Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is a show about testimony, a show about those that were set free from that which that held them in bondage, all in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit being performed by everyday Christians. If you have any questions about deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. That website is a wealth of information set up. Very easily to use, set up with all kinds of tools for self-deliverance, for teaching and training, and plenty of prayers and testimonies there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It is a simple step-by-step process laid out in a book by Pastor Cox that will help you with deliverance and help cast out those evil spirits, help heal, help cleanse homes, help do all kinds of things. You can obtain that by calling the office at 307-742-7582. Let Richard know you need that book, and he will definitely get it out to you. Pastor, good evening.
Good evening. Great to be aboard again, and it seems like we just hung up. How'd the week go so fast?
It does seem like that sometimes. it seems like, well, we were just there. But there'll be times I'll be kind of going along and I'll start thinking, oh, yeah, tonight's Wednesday. So that's the way it goes. Well, Pastor, I was discussing some things with my brother this weekend, and we were actually discussing the death of our nephew, who passed away back in September of a drug overdose. And he was, my brother was angry because he's been through a recovery program. My nephew had been through a recovery program. And he kept talking about he didn't work the system. He didn't work the system. Or work the program, I'm sorry, that's the way he put it. And as he was doing that, I was able to, he was actually asking me a lot of things in the Bible about this and that, and trying to apply to it. But as he was talking about it, I kept thinking about, well, it's just like deliverance. Deliverance will work, but it won't last if you don't work the program. And part of that program is the I Ams, the 9 R's to remaining free, the daily walk, the daily declarations, the reading your Bible. I mean, it's not just a one-time fix. It is a fix. It's a tool that'll help you get to a point that you need. But if you don't maintain it, it really won't do any work for you.
Well, yes, of course, after deliverance, you're still in the war zone.
Yes.
We haven't gone to heaven yet, so here we are in the middle of the satanic activities going on all around us, satanic assignments coming out of Satan's war room, being put on Christians that have a lot of potential, a lot of God-given gifts, and the enemy, of course, wants to block their ministries, their destinies, and, of course, even life abundant. So all that's going on. It's an ongoing war. Once you're born again, you are a target. Not that those spirits can be in your spirit, man, but they can torment us in the body area and the soul area, the mind, will, emotions. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out how we have these three parts. So when someone says Christians can't have demons, they're not thinking about the three parts at all, and it throws people off as to who the real enemy is. It's kind of irritating to me because I know that goes on with certain churches here and there and groups with some various doctrines. And here, constantly, we see Christians set free from the demonic activity. Just in the office today, we were discussing a man that came Monday night. He's actually from Argentina, but he's living up here now and been working with a group that helps alcoholics, addictions, and all. And he was saying there's something lacking. And that's why he'd come to Deliverance Ministries, because realizing there's something more than just doing these steps that they've learned to do psychologically and all that. And if you don't cast the spirits, the addiction spirits out, you're really kidding yourself, because the spirits are still sitting there. And they're going to work on you and work on you until you finally give in. So
yes.
That's what's going on all around us. It's most Christians, of course, and I was one of them for many years. I had no idea about all the demonic activity and what these spirits were doing and Christians being the targets.
Yes. Well, some of the things that I thought about as my brother was talking with me and I was able to minister to him was faith that works is dead. I mean, you could say I have faith all day, but if you don't work at it, and we're actually told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, there's a certain amount of work a Christian has to do. It's not, okay, I believe in Jesus, went to the waters of baptism, I'm up, and everything's hunky-dory. We have to work, and that's I see that all through, especially the New Testament. There's a certain amount of work that a Christian has to do to maintain. Obviously, the work does not grant us salvation. That's through faith and grace of Jesus Christ, that mercy and that grace. But if you don't work at it, you're going to have some issues. And I also thought about the scripture, and I told him that said about the when the house is cleaned out, those spirits look back in and they see it's not in order. They come back with seven worse than before. So I just want to encourage everybody out there, if you have gone through deliverance, and if you don't maintain those steps, you're going to be, you could possibly be in a pickle, and have issues come back again, maybe even worse than before. And if you are thinking about going through deliverance, and you do, it's just so important to maintain. And I'm very thankful that you do that at the ministry there, Pastor, that you give the tools for staying free.
Amen. Well, we had 17 cases Monday night. It was a great evening. Mostly new people, as is typical. I always ask them when they come in, have you been here before? Probably 80-90% of them have not been. And we had three in a group, but we had one-on-one for the others. And I had a great case. All the steps worked so beautifully. I was not able to get the hit demon up, but I did work, just work the list, did what I do, called basic, of working the problem list that they filled out, and coming against others that have asterisks that we've learned are usually in that three dozen plus group. This was a wife of a pastor, and she's really a co-pastor as well as with her husband, and a full gospel church. And she said they do some deliverances, but as I inquired, they just basically do what I'd call prayer line ministry. If somebody is manifesting or someone has a fear or something, they would come against it and command it to go. They might very well get it out. But, of course, what about the other demons that are there? We never just find one or eight or ten. It seems like a minimum of three dozen. I had a lady here a few weeks ago that had 606 demons under the head demon. And obviously she was badly tormented, and she'd had seven abortions. I was one of the doors. But praise God, she got a beautiful overhaul, our Jesus overhaul, and she's probably going to be on the show here pretty soon. She's back up in Pennsylvania right now. We're doing some things, but she'll probably come up on the show shortly and tell it.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, and that certainly does, as a door that opens up to that with abortion. It's obviously, you watch any pro-choice rally, you can see the absolute demonic activity of the women there. And it's so surprising that a woman that had that many would have that had that many abortions, that had that many spirits. But thank God that she's repented of that. Thank God that that sin can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And thank God those spirits are gone from her. She'll be able to reach out and help other women that have gone through that.
And she handed those babies over to Jesus. As a little prayer, we take people through on that so they can have closure. Many times they've not had closure. And as she handed them up to Jesus, she got a big smile on her face. And you know, it's just,
praise the Lord.
Our Jesus is so supernatural, of course. You know, for us to sit there as a minister and watch these things happen is just totally amazing to me. I've seen it over and over, and I never get tired of seeing it, and I always want to see more. Hallelujah. Blessed we are.
Yeah, and it's always fantastic, too, as you're going through a deliverance, you can see that change change, that smile on their face. See the oppression lift off. See the chains of bondage coming off of them, and that weight of oppression coming off of them.
Yeah,
that is very, very fulfilling, because at that point, you know you're getting through. You know it's working, and you don't have to. You see the scene. And of course,
she coughed the spirits out violently. She felt, as she said, so much better about halfway through. It did a lot of inner healing. She had lots of trauma. But she coughed the spirits out. I mean, her throat had to be kind of raw, I suspect, the next day. But praise God, they were coming out. So I knew she was getting her Jesus overhaul. Amen.
Amen. And what a contrast. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, you talked about the gentleman he had where he wasn't feeling anything. Where you worked the list. So it's definitely a different contrast. We as deliverance ministers much prefer those that do that. But you know, if you don't feel anything, you don't sense anything, even if you're doing self-deliverance and you don't feel it, you still have to understand it. The word performs itself. That
yes.
Something is happening. And have that faith, understand that there is still something happening. Maybe by yourself you can't quite get to the root, because a lot of times we can't see our own issues, and it takes someone from outside looking in, but still believe that something is working, something supernaturally is working, just like something supernaturally works when you declare the word, and you say there, I am. I was reading Philippians tonight, and there's probably my most favorite I am in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I mean, that's more than I can than an I am.
I love that one.
It's still an I am. And you know, another I am that I've been promoting, especially in the light of today's environment, is I am protected from the plague. It says Psalms 91. So
amen.
Time to exercise it. The plague shall not enter my tent. I declare that I am protected because I am in the shelter of the Most High. And that is just a wonderful, wonderful Psalms. I know John has talked about declaring it and praying it. I believe, you know, Richard was talking about it at the end of the prayer meeting. And I encourage everybody out there. I mean, these I ams, especially in today's age, and all the fear that's going on, is I will not fear. I am trusting in God, and I've been doing my I ams.
Amen. That lady also Monday night, she got healed in her back and the sciatic nerve on one side, and one of her legs. So she was going all over around the room, you know, saying, "I don't have any pain. I don't have any pain." So, you know, I'm still on a high from just that one. Praise God.
That's awesome. And if you ever know anybody that has a sciatic nerve problem, it can be very painful to them at times.
Yes. It hindered her ministry quite a bit at times, you know, trying to minister to others.
Yes, I can see where, I can definitely see where that would happen. So, well, Pastor, we're a little bit past the time someone would call. Do you need to, you want to maybe send a text, try to contact them and see if they can't get through?
Yes,
okay.
I'll do that. Go ahead.
All right.
I'll pull that up.
Okay. And I know this is just a little bit off of topic for deliverance, but it is a good time to say it because it is an I am. And this is Psalms 91 from the Common English Bible. I like to look up different versions from times when I'm studying a psalm, a verse, or something. But I like the way it reads, "Living in the Most High shelter, camping in the Almighty shade. I say to the Lord, you are my refuge, my stronghold. You are my God, the one I trust. God will save you from the hunter's trap and from the deadly sickness. God will protect you with his pinions. You will find refuge under his wings. His faithfulness is a protective shield. Do not be afraid of the terrors at night, arrows that fly in daylight, or sickness that prowls in the dark, destruction that ravages at noontime. Even if 1,000 people fall dead next to you, 10,000 right beside you, it won't happen to you. Just look over your eyes and see the wicked punished. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High your place of residence. No evil will happen to you. No disease will come close to your tent, because he will order his messengers to help you, to protect you wherever you go. They will carry you with their own hands, so you don't bruise your foot on a stone. You'll march on top of lions and vipers. You'll trample young lions and serpents underfoot." There's Luke 10:19 right there. "God says, because you are devoted to me, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you because you know my name. And what is that name? Oh, we love that name. It's Jesus Christ. Wherever you cry, whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I'll be with you in troubling times. I'll save you and glorify you. I'll fill you with old age. I'll show you my salvation. Praise the Lord. There is a ton of I ams in this psalm alone. And I'm so thankful for the I ams. I'm thankful for the many years ago when Pastor introduced them, and I'm thankful for when Pastor Peters introduced them to us, and I'm thankful that I learned and seen even more of the practicality with deliverance of the need of those I ams. And I've done that with people in deliverance when they will speak a lie, and I can show the I ams and say, nope, that's not what it says. This is what the word says. And you can be able to do it and have them physically declare that I am at the time. So, Pastor, we have Roger. Roger, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Yes, Roger, are you there?
I am.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
How's it going?
You might back away from the phone there a little bit, Roger. Sometimes it distorts if you're talking too loud or too close to the phone. Well, I'm so glad you called in. Getting kind of concerned there for a minute, but here you are. Well, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances were like. I know you've had several. And then changes you've seen, and even with your wife as well, and experiences.
Yeah. well, first off, I've been born again since I was five years old, and my father was in the ministry from about the time I was seven until. He's still pastoring now, and I, you know, I remember when I was a kid. I remember I had, you know, just the presence of the Lord, and I remembered I got to sense what the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, you know, was, you know, to guide you, and to you could pray to Him and all these other things. That a Christian's supposed to do, because whenever I was a child, it was easier because I had the childlike faith that I could believe, receive, and pray for something. And I remember I would like pray for something that I lost, and then I'd find it, you know. And I just, well, the reason I'm going into that is because, you know, shortly on into my teen years, I lost the ability to hear from God for some reason. And it wasn't until, I guess, until I was 28 or 27 or 28 to when I started listening to the Holy Spirit again, and I realized who the Holy Spirit was. I realized the worship music that I was listening to was actually the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through the Holy Spirit, through the worship music of Dennis Jernigan, because he was, you know, he had been through a lot of the things that I'd been through as far as the, you know, a lot of the demonic things that went on in his life during a short period of time in his life. And then, of course, God went on to use him later on. But let's reverse to about the time I was 19. When I was 19, I worked in the ministry off and on with, you know, in church camps and different things like that. And of course, my only motivation back then was to chase women, you know, chase girls. But back then I was 17, 18, 19. That was my only motivation. So I didn't really have the relationship I had when I was a child with the Lord. When I was a teenager, I only did it with vain reasons, you know. So, I mean, I had a lot of vanity and different things. Like my mom always told me, she said, you know, Roger, you're going to marry your mirror, you know. And I was like, I didn't really know what she meant until later on down the road. I realized how selfish and how self-centered I was, you know, and I worshiped myself. I didn't worship God. Well, anyway, all that being said, because I had taken life into my own hands and I was living it my own way, I got into drinking. I didn't really drink until I was 19. But when I got into it, man, I got into it big time. You know, I got into drugs, alcohol, and, you know, having premarital sex with women, and, you know, just going the crazy route, going out to all the crazy clubs, you know, all staying up all night, going to crazy clubs, you know, using ecstasy, cocaine, acid sometimes, always smoking pot, smoked pot for like 8 years, I was drinking, you know, probably about a case or two cases every couple days. And I mean,
wow.
By that time I kind of had realized I was an alcoholic, you know, and I knew there were several times during that time that I'd almost died. And I remember a couple of times that I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I would sometimes be so messed up and so far removed from reality because of the drugs I used that I would actually have to turn on, you know, TBN and listen to it. And I remember times of where the Holy Spirit would come in, you know, even back then when I was going through all that stuff, I knew who the Holy Spirit was. I knew who God was, but I didn't have that relationship, that one-on-one, you know, relationship with him. And a lot of it was because of the demonic activity that I had had, that I had let Satan come in and create the stronghold in my life, you know, and I wasn't prepared for the way I was raised. Yes, I knew what it was like to have a relationship with God when I was young, but I didn't really take the time to develop that relationship as I got older, you know, because I relied on my parents' Christianity to kind of get me through, you know. And I think looking back, I mean, I knew who God was. I knew the Bible. I had actually memorized like half of the New Testament by the time I was in sixth or seventh grade. I mean, so there wasn't the problem of knowing the Word of God, but if you have the Word, but you don't have the Holy Spirit and God, you know, if you don't have the whole Trinity plus the Word, to me, this is my faith, you know, that's what I believe, that you don't have the true power of what it's like to live out the Christian life. So I had a friend that I was involved with. He started praying for me there towards the end. I got so involved in the drugs and the alcohol and was so far deep into it that I couldn't see a way out. So I had a friend come in and start walking beside me. His name was Jeff, and he actually had been listening to you for a couple years on the radio, and I remember him saying something to me about it probably, I don't know, a year to 6 months prior to me coming, you know. And I had several times I'd gone to church and repented and said, oh my God, I'm never doing this again. God, forgive me. You know, I remember one time I went to jail and I said I was going to go into the ministry. Of course, that didn't happen until later on. But it was about when I was 24. And then, you know, as soon as I walk out of jail, I light up a joint, you know. There just wasn't any real commitment to the Lord. So finally, 3 or 4 years later, I was driving in my car. I was drunk. And God just showed up, and the presence of the Holy Spirit just showed up in the car. And then, you know, boom, within a couple of hours, I had been talking to him, and I confessed. And then it's just like it left. The presence of the Lord just left for like 6 months. And then again, in like 6 months down the road, June of 99, and that's about the time that I came into the deliverance. But before I came into deliverance, I had a God, I had a whole another Holy Spirit, fire experience in my house. I mean, he showed up, and I mean, immediately I knew I was delivered from drugs and alcohol. But the other part was there was all this other demonic activity that was going on in my life that was actually causing me to use the hurts, the hang-ups, the habits that had been developed from the strongholds I developed. You know what I mean? So I had to come to deliverance. I don't know, within a couple weeks after I had actually had that experience, and I came to deliverance, and we prayed through a lot of that stuff, and you know, from that point on, I never touched drugs and alcohol again. I don't remember, you know, that's been 20 years ago, my gosh. So I don't remember the exact, like, you know, if I came to deliverance, then I went back out and partied again, or if I went back out and partied, and then I went to deliverance. But regardless, during that time, the deliverance that I went through was monumental, because we went through some things, some lies that I was buying about myself, And it just fine-tuned my relationship with the Lord that I had at the time. Plus, we got out some crazy stuff too back then. I mean, I remember when Brother Everett was praying for me. You know, there were some things manifesting themselves, and you know, I don't quite recall 100% of the whole thing, but I know that I walked out and I didn't touch. You know. I just wanted to make sure that I had finalized my bout with the drugs and alcohol, because I knew that the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and all that stuff was demonic, because I couldn't quit, and that was the thing that really drove me. I actually came to deliverance in fear, but then I left free because my fear was a healthy fear that I was going to die, because I was dying. I was dying inside. I was killing myself. I was killing my body. And, you know, so when I walked out of deliverance that time, I walked out, free from...
Roger, we got 4 minutes left. Maybe you could share also about your marriage and some of that real quick.
Yeah.
About 3 minutes left.
I was trucking along. Life was good for about 10 years, and then I kind of just, I just kind of got fed up with being in the ministry, and I got fed up with with just trying to live a life that I thought everybody else wanted me to live, instead of living the life that God had called me to live. And so I did that, and so what ended up happening is I followed the wrong God, and that God led me down a path of infidelity and premarital sex and all these other things that, you know, that it's hard for a pastor to find a job, you know, if you're out doing this stuff. So, you know, and I was involved in a lot of other things that were just not good, and again, I thank God I had been to deliverance before and got delivered, and I knew that if I could call on the name of Jesus, that he would deliver me again. But I had to go and confess the things that I was doing to somebody, and one of the things that I was doing is I had children outside of marriage, and I didn't realize that it was creating a stronghold for the enemy to come in and attack me, my wife now, who wasn't my wife, and my family. And whenever Brother Everett and I were praying through it, he actually got a voice to manifest itself. I don't know. I think it must have been a generational curse or something like that of broken families that was in my family that was handed down to me for generations from my grandfathers. And anyway, we broke that curse. Brother Everett and I, he spoke truth into me. He says, "Man, you need to go home and get married." Within, I guess, 2 months after that happened, I brought my wife back within a month.
Yeah.
We brought her daughter, who actually was struggling with some mental issues. She got deliverance. My wife got deliverance. Then we went back home and got married. like within a couple weeks, June 15th, 2015.
Roger, there was a spirit. There was a spirit of fear of marriage, a fear of marriage spirit. Remember that one?
Yes. Yes, I had actually completely forgotten.
Got that out
until you reminded me the other day that, you know, that's exactly the ploy of the enemy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but not only that, he wants you to not remember the things that God did in your life that give you the strength and the power that you need to defeat what he has planned for you, you know? And that's...
Yes.
That's why we're having this conversation tonight, because I want to declare the victory by telling my testimony. And that's what I was telling Brother Everett the other night on the phone. I called him up and I said, you know, there's two things that you've got so you can get deliverance. You can get deliverance and we can pray for you and the demonic oppression will come off of you. But the other thing is it's by the blood of the Lamb, because you get deliverance through Jesus and by the blood that he shed on the cross for our sins, because he broke the curse with the cross and the blood. The other thing is the power of your testimony. You've got to walk in freedom, because if you don't walk in freedom, there is no power in your testimony, and the enemy will just laugh at you, and then you're just going to have to go through the process several times. That's why I went through the process several times, is because I took the wrong fork in the road.
But you got your Jesus overhaul, Roger. You did get your Jesus overhaul. We're out of time, Roger. Thank you for that great testimony, and you've come down the road to freedom. Amen?
Amen, man. Amen.
Well, God bless. Talk to you later.
Yes, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Powerful testimony.
Yes, he came.
Great Lord, he
came
was,
a long distance.
He did, and that's. I know so many people have walked the path that he's walked, and which I hope they're hearing it. Wish they were hearing it, and I know people are still walking it. And I try to talk them through that, but wow, I like the way he put that at the end. Is you've got to walk in your testimony. So praise the Lord.
Yes.
Pastor, we have Bill with us. Bill, thank you for joining us this evening.
No problem. I'm glad to
Bill?
Do it.
Yeah, glad you called in, Bill. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. And why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Bill, and how you learned about, when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like, and maybe your wife as well, and the experiences, and how you guys are doing now.
Okay. We're doing great, Everett. Thank you. I was a little boy, and I can still remember. I knew I needed Jesus as Lord, and I went down and asked the pastor. I told him I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Praise
and
God.
So I was baptized into the church, a little Baptist church, you know, here in Oklahoma. And I loved the Lord, and, you know, I can remember as a boy, I always said prayers every night and so forth. But when I got up to being a teenager, that's... the lure of Dragon Main Street and all of that was just too much for me. And I ended up, you know, running around with some people that I shouldn't have been running around with. And so I ended up marrying outside the church. And I spent 16 years in a marriage that I had two wonderful children from it, but it was a miserable marriage, and neither one of us were happy. And so that marriage failed, unfortunately, and I married again, and that marriage lasted about four and a half years. And at that point, I was so devastated and so distraught. I've loved the Lord my entire life. I've always been in the Word and so forth, but I was, I wasn't living it for sure. So, at any rate, I've always had issues with, like, they said I was ADHD, and I've always been nervous and confusion, and, you know, it was just real difficult for me to accomplish much. And so finally, after hearing a couple of times about the Deliverance Ministry there in Oklahoma City, we arranged to go there. And we went one night, and I'll never forget when Everett told us that the average Christian, you know, they found at least, 3 dozen demons in the average Christian. I just couldn't believe it. So, over the course of that, and going there and seeing the minister and going through the process, and we made some significant progress, and but I still wasn't where I needed to be. And so we bought the book that Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is an excellent book, by the way, and we brought all of the information home that they have out there, you know, just to take, and the prayers and breaking the ungodly soul ties and all of the things that it takes to do deliverance ministry. And so I set out to do this myself, and I started working with it, and I really battled with it, and but was able to pull up several demons, and each one would say he was a head demon, and he would be a demon of, you know, whatever, and they each have their little category that they're involved with, but they all say the same thing, and that is that they are there to make certain that we don't achieve God's purpose for our life. You know, that's their main goal, you know, to make sure that we don't accomplish what we are supposed to accomplish, what the Lord has written for us to be and to do with our lives. And in my case, I'm in my late 60s, so they've done a pretty good job with me and keeping me from, you know, I can remember as a little boy, I stood in the back of that church and I looked up at the pulpit and I wanted to be a preacher. It was in my heart to teach and preach the Word of God, but it never came to be. And in the course of doing the ministry, the deliverance ministry, the demons would say, you know, they'll say, you know, I did a good job, didn't we? We did a good job with you. We kept you from accomplishing what it was you were supposed to accomplish. So the main thing that I want to say to anybody listening is that there are demons out there, and they are everywhere, and Satan is cruel. He is cruel. He will enter you for, you know, most people think, well, if you go get involved in a, you know, some type of relationship, then, you know, you can get a demon that way. Well, you can get demons from things like hurt. If you've been hurt, in my case, I had a brother that was murdered, and it hurt me very deeply. And one of them used that hurt and entered me that way. And I had one tell me that my mother and father were fighting when I was in the womb, and my parents divorced when I was 6 weeks old, so there was some battles going on, and I had two or three demons that said that, you know, they were generational, they came, and I was born with them. So, you know, it's not really about how good you are or what kind of life you lived and all that, even though it is, you know, we have to be holy, but you know, a person can have a demon that's inhibiting their life, and they haven't done anything. It came with them when they were born into this earth, And so it is real. It's very real. You can feel them leave. I have felt them go out of me, and it's like it is such a relief. It's just such a wonderful feeling to have them go. And it's not something that's necessarily pleasant to talk about, but it needs to be done. People have got to know that this is real. It is real. And, you know, the world knows it's real. You can turn on the movies and so forth. They know full well that there are demons. But for some reason, Christians are really, you know, unaware. But once I was able to get rid of some of these demons at that point, then I was able to, now I'm able to concentrate and to read the Word and be able to read down through Paul's writings and actually, you know, not get lost. And it was always hard for me, his writings. And it's just, it's wonderful. You know, you get rid of the confusion, you get rid of all of that. And I know there are spirits of lust and all different types of spirits, you know, but they all do the same thing. They take a person into something that is ungodly and that is detrimental to their life. So, you know, we got to get rid of them. And they do a really good job there in Oklahoma City. And all the material is just laid out there. You can just walk up there and get what you need if you're interested. And I'm sure if a person was to call or write them or email them, they could do the same, that they would take care of them with the materials. It is very interesting, and don't be scared of it, you know. Get involved in it, and you might be surprised. I think that the average Christian, for me, it was about a couple of things, and I don't know how much time we have left, but one was hearing voices, and two was illness and sickness. I've had some sickness or illness almost all of my adult life. It's just been one thing after another. And if I ever got one thing fixed, something else would pop up. And that's what these demons do. That's what they're there for, is just to inhibit your life. And they'll do it any way they can. You know, if it's making you ill or if it's causing confusion in your life, if it's causing your marriage to go sour, whatever it is that they can do, they'll do it. And I've found that you have to live holy. If you want to get rid of a demon, you've got to get the sin out of your life, and you've got to get right with the Lord. And so for me, it's been a very worthwhile experience. It's not something that happens real fast. You know, you just don't go in there and walk out a new person. It takes time. And well, I suppose some people do walk in and come out a new person. That's probably the case for some people. For me, it was more of a road trip, you know. I've made many mistakes over the course of my life, but the Lord has always been good to me, and He's faithful. And I would say that I think this ministry kind of shakes hands with a series of books that were written called The Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson, I think, and that is a series on prayer, effective prayer. The four scriptures that I've used, and of course Everett's got all this stuff laid out, would be Luke 10:19. I use James 4:7, Colossians 1:13, and Genesis 1:26. And I, as of yet, I've never found any demon that can still stand there and talk to me with a straight face after he's heard those four scriptures. They're done. They don't hang, you know, they don't. Yeah.
The Word performs itself, doesn't it, Bill? It's so cool how we can speak that. Little us, well, we have all power given to us from the cross to deal with these things, and most Christians haven't grasped that yet. But when you do, you can wage warfare just as you have, right there on your own. Now, did your wife come for ministry as well?
She came once, but my dear wife, she is, you know, she loves the Lord, and she has her whole life. She's, I don't you know, I don't know that she's ever sinned. No, I know she has, but she is just a special individual. And she did. She came for ministry, and I don't remember exactly what it was that she was after, but she loves the Lord, and that was my, you know, I would have never, ever remarried unless I found a woman that loved the Lord more than anything else in the world, and that is her. She is a doll, and we both enjoy, you know, every day. We spend time in prayer, and it's all about the Lord. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Everything's about Him. And you can't get rid of a demon without the Lord. Like, if, you know, if He's not in it, it didn't happen. He is the one.
Yes.
So.
Well, we find, Bill, we find so often that that marriages are greatly improved, especially when both spouses go through. Sometimes just one spouse will greatly improve the marriage and even turn it around. But the ideal thing is that if both spouses before deliverance were carrying about 36 evil spirits, how's the marriage, you know? So if those spirits are gone, the marriage can't help but be better. Amen?
Yes. Yes, and I would say our marriage is better. I mean, she just put up with me is the deal. She's old-fashioned, and, you know, she lives by the Word of God, and, you know, she knows what Proverbs 31 is all about. So that's where she's at, and even though I was probably gripey and, you know, hard on her at times, she was still the same loving wife, you know, that she always was. I've never had cause to complain about her. But yes, our marriage, everything's better. You know, I mean, everything is better. These things are out there to cause havoc in our lives in one way or another. And believe me, they can do it all different ways. It just depends on what a person's weakness is, because Satan knows your weakness. You know, if you, whatever, you know, it's just whatever your weakness is, and he's gonna make a way for a person to fall into sin, you know, based on however he can make it happen. And, it's just amazing when you get right with the Lord, and you know it, and you believe the Word, and you know the Word, and you believe it, and you stand on it, and the enemy has to back away from you. He cannot defeat the Word of God. That's a good feeling, you know. People are afraid. They're fearful. The enemy, God operates through love, and Satan uses fear. And so people are afraid of him. But if you've got things lined out in your life, you don't have to be afraid of him. You can stand with the Lord in awe. It's amazing. I don't have the words. I'm not articulate like some people, but it's just absolutely a wonderful feeling to get tuned up or cleaned up, as Everett would say, and get rid of the demons that are inhibiting us, and get to where we can do what it is we're supposed to be doing, to get back into productivity, you know, get our lives rolling again, get things to where they ought to be. And
yes.
They definitely are inhibiting force, and you don't realize it because it happens over time. It's a slow thing. They slowly pull you down to where now you're spending all your time, you know, either watching a silly TV show or just doing ridiculous things, and none of it means anything, because we're going to leave this place one day, and, you know, it's all about the Word and what we've done with our life, and relationships are important. When I was at Everett's and we went through the prayer there, the Lord showed me something that had happened, I don't know, 30 years ago, where I had kind of held a little grudge against a friend of mine who had done something that I felt like was his fault, and I kind of held a grudge against him for it, and I could have never remembered it. I mean, you know, I never remembered it. I didn't even, but the Lord showed it to me. Okay, here's the deal. I need you to forgive this person. And these are the kind of things that can come out of this ministry, this style of ministry, is the Lord will show you things in your life that are allowing the enemy into your life. It opens a door to the enemy, whether it be unforgiveness or whatever, you know, whatever it is. It opens the door to the enemy and it allows him into your life, and he creates havoc for you. So this type of ministry will close those doors, and through studying the materials, you can keep them closed and just slam the door on him. And the enemy will not have entrance into a person's life at that point. And no, I mean, you know, he'll still try, believe me. You know, he's still trying, but it's an amazing thing. You know, to be able to stand and pray and know that there's nothing between you and the Lord. It's about
that live
honesty
program,
and truth and integrity. And it's about the Word of God and being right with Him.
The live program. The live program that he pushes at us, Bill, you know, they're all negatives. But once you're aware of those lies, you can recognize them because they are negatives. And you don't buy them. You can cast down those thoughts, as the Bible says. Perish that thought, even. And most people are hearing those, and they think it's themselves thinking it. When it's very clever of the enemy how they're able to push that into a person's head, these negatives. And sometimes people think it's God. They're hearing voices. They think it's God talking to them. Of course, it's the enemy. And he's there to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, Bill, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a wonderful testimony, brother.
Thank you, Heather. We appreciate you and all that you do.
You're a blessing.
All
right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for coming on this evening. Yes. I like how he put it. They're there to hinder you. They're there to slowly wear on you and bring you down and bring you down. And that's about the best way I can think to describe it, because Christians are targets. I mean, we're told in James to resist the devil and he will flee. Well, if we don't resist the devil, he's not going to flee. He's going to come and wear down on us and get on us.
That's it.
And that book of James was written to Christians.
Exactly. So,
exactly. Great testimony this evening, as always. And if there's any questions about deliverance, info@deliveranceusa.com, which is can be found at deliveranceusa.com, or Pastor's book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Praise the Lord. A great evening. Pastor, we'll talk to you next week. God bless everybody.
Yes.
And have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of
the enemy, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.